Hello, and welcome to the More Abundant Life radio broadcast. My name is Adrian Westney Jr. I'm your host. If you've joined us today for the first time, let me tell you a little bit about our program today. The More Abundant Life radio broadcast features the ministry and the music of Pastor Wendley Phipps of the Seabrook Church, which is located in the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. I'll tell you a little bit more about the ministry and the church at the end of our program, so I hope you'll stay tuned for that. But first of all, let me tell you about our message. The message today is entitled Soldiers in Your Soul. As we've done from time to time, we have divided this message into two parts so that our audience can hear all of the message. You know, we only have 30 minutes here on The More Abundant Life. So today we'll have Soldiers in Your Soul Part 1. Before our message begins, though, here is some music. I hope you'll enjoy it.
A man of sorrows, God rejected. Stone, despised by the builders, left to stand alone. Still you kept on loving, all our sins you called your own. Laying your foundation to become a cornerstone. Lord, you're marvelous in our eyes. While we were yet sinners, you came and died. Yes, you're marvelous in our eyes. A more excellent Savior than words can describe. Stand. Lord, you're marvelous in our
You're listening to the More Abundant Life radio broadcast. We just heard music from Wintley Phipps entitled Marvelous in Our Eyes. And that's from the CD entitled Wintley Phipps. Here's our message for today. The message entitled Soldiers in Your Soul, Part 1. Here's Pastor Phipps.
I want you to go to the book of Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 9. The scriptures say, nevertheless, we made our prayer to our God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. Now keep that scripture open today. I love the Word of God.
Amen.
I've been preaching for more than 26 years, and I can never exhaust this book. Come with me to a time when the Jewish people had returned from their long captivity in Babylon. Under the leadership of Nehemiah, they turned their efforts toward rebuilding the city walls. The walls of Jerusalem had been destroyed by the Babylonians, and God had placed within the heart of his servant Nehemiah a compelling desire to see them repaired. Nehemiah organized the rebuilding effort, and no sooner was it underway before those opposing the effort for purely political reasons began to let their voices be heard. Their leader, the leader of the opposition, was a man by the name of Sanballat. Mm-hmm. With a name like that, I guess you have to oppose somebody. Sanballat felt that his political power would be threatened by the success of Nehemiah's building effort. He felt personally and politically threatened. And he set his mind to sabotage Nehemiah's effort. Now, the king had authorized Nehemiah to receive from Asaph, the supervisor of the royal forest, all the timber that he needed, all the wood he needed to rebuild the gates of the city. And every request Nehemiah made, the king granted it. Everybody was thankful for Nehemiah's vision and the promise of his arrival, everyone except Sanballat and his crowd. And the Bible says in Nehemiah 2, verse 10, if you wish, you can turn to it. When Sanballat, a Moabite from Horonim, the governor of Samaria, and Tobiah, the Ammonite official, heard that a Jew had been sent from Persia to govern Judah and rebuild a city, that they were exceedingly grieved. They were, how can you say that in today's language? They were just upset. Amen? Exceedingly grieved. They were just downright upset. Sanballat somehow would not allow himself to see what God was doing through Nehemiah. You know, sometimes people get upset because they won't allow themselves to see what God is doing through someone else. He allowed himself to feel personally and politically threatened by Nehemiah's arrival. Now, it is important to note that Sanballat was an acting governor. Neither did he want to give that position up, as you can imagine. He had just gotten a little taste of power. He was the highest official in the land of Samaria until Nehemiah arrived. Oh, have mercy. Yes. And that's important to remember. Nehemiah was now the one with the power. He was now the one with the influence. And I've learned in my life that the people who often rush to oppose you are usually not the big cheeses.
Well,
it's the wannabes. It's not the head honchos. Often opposition to what God is doing comes from people with small, bitty minds, little itty-bitty minds, who cling to their narrow views and for whatever reason are threatened by your success. And this gets me. Some are even threatened by the potential of your success. Now that's, you understand what I'm saying. To be all twisted up because somebody might succeed. What a way to live. Once I was lamenting the unfair political treatment I was receiving at the hands of a superior and an old man in Jamaica pulled me aside and said, let me tell you a story. And he gave me mounds of enlightenment. His words gave me a mountain full of perspective. He said to me, let me tell you a story. A private was on duty, watch duty one day, and he fell asleep. And the general came by and found him nodding off and sleeping and shook him and roused him. When he opened his eyes, he realized he was looking into the face of the general and he almost lost his mind out of fright. The general said, don't worry, it's okay, it's okay. Just be thankful it wasn't the corporal. That story really came to me when I needed to help me change my life and change my perspective. It taught me to understand that when you try to use your gifts for God's glory and you run into irreverent, nonsensical opposition, more than likely that opposition will not come from a general. It comes from the wannabes. It comes from the corporal, or it comes from those. You see, there are some folks who are high up who have a corporal mentality.
That's right.
When they rose, they didn't change their way of thinking. They took that corporal mentality with them.
My Lord.
Have mercy, Jesus. Don't get me started here today. You see, those in high places seldom feel threatened by those who act like peons. And I found that people in high places are seldom threatened by those with talents and gifts. And I've asked God about that. I've tried to understand. Why is it just the corporals that give you the trouble? The generals are magnanimous.
Amen.
And here's what the Lord showed me. One of the reasons it's like that is because usually what distinguishes the generals from the corporals is that the generals are trying to win the war. The corporals are trying to get a promotion. I understand that now. The corporals, the general, he wants to see, he doesn't care how big your talent is, if it helps him win the war.
That's right, man. That's right.
He has got the bigger picture of things. He wants to achieve a wider victory. The corporal sees your gift as a stumbling block to his promotion. Come on, you got some folks like that on your job. Too often those with a corporal mentality who are just looking for more stripes on their arm and more personal recognition, they think if they can hold you back, it'll make them look better in the eyes of their constituency and those who hold their promotion in their hands. But somewhere I read, for promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. I read that promotion cometh from the Lord God. Put it down one and he set it up another. When God promotes you, no one can hold you down.
Amen.
When God elevates you, nothing but sin can bring you down low.
Amen. So true. So true.
This jealous official by the name of Sanballat rallied his henchmen, began to harass and oppose those who were rebuilding the temple, and they stood back mocking the builders, saying things like, "What do you think you're doing? You'll never get enough stones amid all this rubbish to build back up the city wall." Church, Sanballat and his men were trying to discourage the Israelites from following through on the assignment God had given to them. They didn't even know that they were pawns in Satan's hands. Have mercy. Lord, may we never be pawns. when God is using somebody and you know the feeling that rises up, Lord, please help my neighbors to stop buying things I can't afford.
Well,
you know the feeling of envy and jealousy. Are you with me today?
Yes, sir. Preach it.
The servant of the Lord says that it was Satan who was working to stir up opposition and bring discouragement. Poor Nehemiah and his colleagues had to work amidst words of ridicule and predictions of failure. And somehow I guess this message, I'm feeling this message today because I understand what Nehemiah was going through. It seems like all my life I've been there. All my ministry, I've encountered Sanballat. All my ministry, I felt those people, you know, with their cold gray hands trying to reach up to your ankles to pull you down. And every time they got in striking distance, God would let something unusual happen to just push me out of their reach. All my ministry, I've encountered Sanballats. And it seems like all the major ministry assignments that God has placed before me have been tough assignments. I have not gotten a easy ministry assignment from Jesus yet.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
This church was a tough assignment. When, are you with me today? Some of us have been here long enough to remember when you didn't have to fight over pews and seats. You could lay out your three children and have a wonderful day at church. Now, if I'm telling the truth, somebody say amen this morning. Part of my problem is that I'm so idealistic and I believe in the power of my God so fervently that I never countenance failure. I never plan for failure. I serve a God who can pluck victory out of the jaws of defeat. I understand that. So I go into tough assignments and I don't even realize it's tough. Because of my confidence in the power of God, when I take on tough assignments, I never plan for failure.
Man.
I knew when we got here, this would work. It would succeed. God's kingdom would be built up here at Sebra.
Yeah.
Because I'm in awe of the power of God. That's why these victories are not my victories. This victory belongs to God alone.
Yeah.
I stand back in awe of his power.
Amen.
To God and God alone is due all the glory. Yes, I too, like Nehemiah, have had to work amidst words of ridicule, predictions of failure. I gotta tell you, when I told some folks, when we started out in Tulsa, come, let's see what God is doing over here. They came, they looked, they said, "Ooh, what's he seeing? We don't see what you see." Are you with me today?
Yes.
And it's been like that at my last two churches. What's he talking about?
Mm-hmm.
But you learn to expect that. And you don't let that discourage you.
Yes.
You don't let it get you distracted and take you off task. Now turn with me to Nehemiah 4. The Bible says that one of Sanballat's corporals, fellow corporals, verse 3,
yes. Lord Jesus.
Tobiah, the Ammonite was by him, and he said, "Even that which they build." He said, "Oh Lord, are you listening to me?" This portion of scripture, I feel like it's my life, because I've had people come say, "Hey, don't worry, it's not going to last. It's not going anywhere. Nobody's going to come and join that." Here's what he said. "Oh, even that which they build, if a fox go up, he will break down the wall they build." What they build, not even the wall they build can't even handle a fox walking on it. And look at verse 4. "Hear, O our God, for we," and this is Nehemiah now, "we are despised, turn their reproach upon their own head. What Nehemiah says, Lord, let them eat their own words. Turn the reproach upon their own heads. Hear, O Lord, for we are despised. Turn their reproach. Let those who make fun of us eat their own words. In verse 5, Lord, don't overlook what they're doing to us now. They're discouraging your people by the insults they're throwing at us. In verse 6, in spite of their predictions of failure, Nehemiah said, we continue to build the wall.
That's right. Yes.
And later, verse 7, when Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem, and the Philistines heard that we had finished half the wall, and all the gaps were closed, they were what? Look at verse 7. They were what? They were very angry. God's work is being accomplished, and folks are angry. And verse 8, they made plans. Let me read it. And they conspired, all of them together, to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. There are people who know that God is doing a work, who will come along just to hinder it, just to thwart it, to foil it, to stop it. In our text this morning from Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 9, here is what I came to preach to you about today. Yes. Nevertheless, said Nehemiah, I like that. Nevertheless, it doesn't matter what they're about, and doesn't matter what they're trying to do. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God, and we set a watch against them day and night because of them. Now, brothers and sisters, as you seek to build up the walls of blessing and favor in your own life, as you seek to work hard to live out the measure of prosperity and blessings God has ordained for your life, I just want to live out what God has ordained for my life. Doesn't matter to me what it is, where it is, how it is. I'll be fine as long as I know I'm where God wants me to be. You must never forget that you've got an enemy who wants to discourage you, call you down from what the Lord is building in your life. And you got to face the fact that the greatest enemy you face is that devil and his agents who want to discourage you from building out the destiny God has prepared for you. And that's why one of my favorite texts is Exodus 23:22. It says, but if thou shalt indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I, the Lord, will be an enemy to your enemies and an adversary to your adversaries. Now, remember, Satan is not only anti-God, he is anti everything God has blessed.
Amen. Amen.
And so if God has blessed you with a house, he's anti whatever God has blessed you with. He is anti everything that's good for you. Whatever will tear you down, whatever will shame you, whatever will embarrass you, he's cheering for that. The Lord in his word calls this enemy a roaring lion. Now, I've been to Africa. I've seen lions in Africa behind cages and on safaris. And I can tell you personally that a lion roars when he's trying to threaten or intimidate. Now, a lion's roar is grand and terrifying. It looks good on the big screen. But the roar is not what you have to fear from a lion. What's really frightening about lions is the way they hunt. The way they prowl, the way they seek, those who they would devour. Lions will stalk you patiently for days. And what is more dangerous than their roar is their ability to track you down in quietness and in stealth. It's the way lions hunt that is so deadly. And we have enemies who set traps and snares for our feet. They sit around, they strategize how they're going to mess us up, how they're going to make us look bad. Servant of the Lord tells us the builders of the wall were beset by active opposition. She tells us that Nehemiah recognized the dangers. Now, how did Nehemiah fight his enemies? He fought them, Nehemiah 4:9. Nevertheless, We made our what? We made our what? Prayer. Nehemiah said, I fought him with prayer, and we did what? We set a watch against them day and night. We made our prayer unto our God, and we set a watch against them day and night. Nehemiah had found the source of victory over the devil. You know, brothers and sisters, the Bible gives us all kinds of guidance on how to defend against the wiles of the wicked one. But the defense and the counsel most consistently given is in Scripture. It is given to us by God, and it is that God has given us two soldiers in our soul. Yes, yes. One's name is watchfulness. The other's name is prayerfulness.
That concludes our message for today, the title Soldiers in Your Soul, Part 1. I hope that you will stay tuned to The More Abundant Life on another broadcast, because we will be sharing with you Part 2 of this message. If you would like to obtain a copy of today's message, please call the Seabrook Church office at 301-577-6342. Again, the phone number, 301-577-6342. And you will be asked for a program number there, and you will want to refer to program number 213. That's program number 213, which will get you the title, Soldiers in Your Soul, Part 1. You may also obtain more information about The More Abundant Life by writing to us at P.O. Box 1078, Columbia, Maryland, 21045. Well, my name is Adrian Wesley Jr. We're out of time, so I want to wish you God's richest blessings and to remind you to remember the words written in John chapter 10, verse 10, where Jesus said, "I came that you might have life, and that that life might be the more abundant life."
Give what's in your heart.